We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Mike's on. He's ready to go.
On the Fan.
New York Sports Radio.
Mike's on. Mike's on.
All right, a little after four, the Kentucky Derby tomorrow. So that means we welcome in Brad Thomas, who you can see down at Monmouth and is back. Everyone was wondering if Brad would come back to do the races, the Triple Crown race this year. Yes, he will, and he's here right now. Brad, welcome. How are you?
I'm great. I'm glad to be here, Mike.
Good, Brad. All right, give me an overview first before we start on the Derby. Give me the overview on the Derby.
Well, there's a potential absolute superstar in this race in Justify. I think he's at least a notch, maybe a notch and a half, more talented than Triple Crown winner American Pharoah. This horse has limitless potential, but he is inexperienced. And this is a deeper, more talented field than the ones that were faced by other potential stars like American Pharoah himself, Spectacular Bid, Affirmed, Seattle Slew, even Secretariat. Secretariat had to beat Sham, who was superb, and Forgo. But Forgo wasn't really Forgo by that time. He became great later on. The rest of the field Secretariat beat was not that good. This field could be really, really nice, and it's really deep, and Justify has a lot of inexperience to overcome.
Justify, who Baffert has said could be as talented as his Wonder Horse of just a few years ago, said that he expects big things. The horse did not run as a two-year-old, which is an enormous strike against. Also has only had one race over a mile, and also may be compromised in the pace. So it's going to be very interesting to see. Now, I don't take anything away from Baffert. I've seen him do too many crazy things. We know how good he can be, especially when he has a horse. We've seen him do wondrous things with these horses. So it really makes for a fascinating race from that standpoint.
It truly does. This horse could be great, but it's the Derby. There's 19 other horses. He's beaten 14 horses in his entire career. Now he has to beat 19 of them in one race, in a different kind of race, too.
All right, let's start from the rail out. You can make it real quick on some if you want. Firenze Fire.
On general principle, Mike, I root for breeder owners in this game, but this horse is distance limited, has raced a lot in an effort to win Derby points, and his trainer, superb as he is best with more time between starts.
All right, Free Drop Willie.
His best races have come when he's been well set up against second and third rate fields. He did make good middle moves while having tough trips in his last two. But even going shorter versus average bunches, he's had trouble finishing strongly and running through the wire. I don't like him running longer against tougher. I'm only going to use him third or fourth on my old ticket.
All right, let me break for a second, Brad, with this, and I'll say we'll have more on it as soon as we finish on the Derby with Brad. The Mets have requested that Matt Harvey agree to a minor league assignment. He refused to accept the minor league assignment, so he will be DFA'd. We will have more on it in the minute. After we finish our Derby. So, and it doesn't come as any stunning news. So the Mets and Matt Harvey have reached the impasse most of us thought they would reach. He was asked to go to the minors. He refused. We'll take it from there as soon as we finish with our Derby information. Here we go. So from Free Drive Willie, trained by Dale Romans, we go to a son of a horse he trained in Shackleford, Promises Fulfilled.
This horse has unbridled speed, Mike, but he has issues. He sometimes overheats pre-race. He sometimes fails to turn smoothly in race. But if he breaks, he guarantees that this year's race will not be an early walk-a-thon like a lot of recent derbies have been. That could change up the results. We've seen some procession-type races in the recent past since the point system has eliminated the two-year-old sprinters. This horse could truly be the key in the 2018 Derby, because if he doesn't break for some reason, and because he has these issues, he might not. If he doesn't break, that could really help Justify and allow that one to just gallop along on the lead. But as a horse himself, Promises Fulfilled, he's the likeliest last-place finisher.
All right, the number four is Flame Away.
He has static figures. He has 9 starts already on his resume. I love the fact that trainer Mark Cassie runs his horses, but the promise of sterner pace pressure makes Derby Day improvement really unlikely to me for this horse. I think the combination of the distance and the pace will get him. I'm only going to use him 3rd or 4th on my all tickets.
The 5 is the first one from Pletcher, Audible.
He's supremely talented. He's a middle-distance horse with stylistic versatility, multiple gears, and explosive acceleration. The versatility allowed him to take advantage of opposite pace and bias setups in the Grade 2 Holy Bull 2-back and the Grade 1 Florida Derby last time. His gears permitted him to make 2 moves in the Holy Bull and to sprint away from a blind-switched Hofburg in the Florida Derby, and his acceleration blew open both races with big bursts and upper stretch. But while he has a solid foundation, excellent race spacing for a trainer who really likes that. He's an outside preferring horse. He draws inside both sides of his pedigree too. Strongly suggests that a mile and 1/8 is the far reaches of his stamina. Now he has to go an 1/8 further. In general, horses like Audible on dirt who have gears, have acceleration, they're compromised the further they go because the added distance dulls the sharpness of their moves. Also, Audible was extremely mature physically by March. He just was massive in comparison to many of his rivals, just super muscular, powerful. Others here, though, might have more May upside. These horses change dramatically at this time of year. I really respect this horse's talent. He's really good, but I don't think he can get the distance. I will, however, have him used all over in the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th slots.
Good Magic has got everything you'd want. He's trained by Chad Brown. He's a son of Curlin, who has become one of the real premier classic sires. He cost $1 million. He was well meant last year. How about Good Magic?
He has a shot. I'd like to see more explosive talent for him from him, though, this year. He touted himself last season with an excellent effort when hard used and premature moving in the Champagne. Then as a maiden, he won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, stretching out to 2 turns, benefited from a good pace setup and inside-out trip that day. He was very wide, but still was dull, I thought, off the bench in the Grade 2 Fountain of Youth, but foot issues early in the year interfere with his training. He moved forward despite another wide trip in the Grade 2 Bluegrass, stretching out to 9 furlongs, but only beat a very average group, and he lacked the wow factor in that race, Mike. He failed to really pull away late from 3 rivals who were respectively very hard used, drifting wildly through the stretch and badly bothered. And he switched back to his left lead late, his incorrect left lead. I think that was a focus issue. He just wasn't wound fully tight. Chad Brown, though, as you mentioned, a master with developing horses. He attempts to replicate the Good Magic's dramatic 3rd-time form cycle improvement last year. Brown was a super 5th in last year's Derby, exiting the Bluegrass with 3rd off a layoff, but overmatched and poorly posted Practical Joke, who really outran his ability in that race. And Brown won the Preakness with 4th-time starter Cloud Computing. So this is what he does. This horse is going to have his A-plus race on Saturday. He's been training great. He's posted to get a good trip from mid-pack. I really don't fully believe that he's good enough to win this race. Like I said, I just haven't seen that explosion, but he is getting better. He's a big-time exacta factor.
All right, Justify is the horse of the moment, son of Scat Daddy, $500,000 yearling, who has lightly raced, did not lay down. Brad, is the story here that did not race, it was just late developing? The horse is a, I don't have the date he was born, so you must have that. I don't know if he was an early or late foal, but he, was it developmental or did he have an injury? Why he didn't race as a 2-year-old?
He was a March foal, so he was relatively early. I think from what I understand, I think he had a minor setback in some of his early training, and it was just decided that he needed more time. But he just is a massive horse. He's a big frame. He has a backside that would make swimsuit models wish that they had. He's just an incredible physical specimen, and I think it was just shrewd people who were taking their time with a horse who they knew was really, really good. He's smart. He's smooth. He's the complete package. It's just a matter of whether or not he has the foundation. He runs fast effortlessly. He toys with his competition. He always looks like there's more to give. The lack of 2-year-old foundation and seasoning is a big deal, though, for me. I'm still old school in that regard. I think the 2-year-old training helps you. I think the 2-year-old experience helps you to deal with whatever you might have to deal with in a race like the Derby. He only beat 14 horses in 3 small Placid Field races in California. Now he has to face 19 horses in one wild rodeo. How is he going to react to real pace pressure? There was no pace at all in the Santa Anita Derby. He was allowed to just walk on the lead, something we disgracefully see far too often in Grade 1 races. How is he going to deal with bumping out of the gate? How is he going to deal with early pinching? How is he going to deal with first-turn traffic? How is he going to deal with a kickback sandstorm if he doesn't really break well? I don't know. And as great as he is, trainer Bab Baffert doesn't know either. Now, maybe Justify can just sit out there disdainfully, very wide and in the clear, while relatively close to Fast Fraction, that might sting him a little bit, but still, because he's such a great talent, power gallop a deep Derby field into submission. Maybe he can, but I'm not going to risk eating a short price finding out myself. I'm going to make use of such a great talent in all wagering slots, but I tell you what, I'm also going to have plenty of tickets with Justify off the board completely.
Do you think he has to have the lead in this race?
No. And in fact, I think if Promises Fulfilled doesn't break, I think he might very well go to the lead if Smith really plays it aggressively. Sometimes Smith does. Sometimes Smith can be overly patient. But lately, he's been playing things aggressively with horses like this. If Promises Fulfilled doesn't go, Smith will. If not, I do think this horse can sit outside and gallop. I don't think he needs the lead. What I think will be his problem, though, is if he gets behind horses for some reason and has to pass a whole bunch or has to get dirt kicked in his face.
All right, the news I gave you a minute ago, Matt Harvey and the Mets look like they're parting ways. I'll have that for you as soon as we finish with Brad here. Brad, Lone Sailor, the number 8 horse.
He needs a perfectly timed ride to be a factor at a mile and a quarter. He has a big move when he gets pace, but he does hang. He is, however, in very skilled hands that have always liked him, and he is really improving. The connections are realistic. They know he can't win. They'll be thrilled with a piece, and I think he might be ridden to finish third or fourth, so I'm using him there.
Bill Mott has Hofburg, a Judd Monty Farm. How about Hofburg, a son of Tappet?
One of the real talents here. I wish he was bigger and stronger, less prone to pre-race jitters and gait trouble, and had more real dirt on the maternal side of his pedigree. But what he does have is real talent and stamina, real pedigree, two-year-old activity, and massive three-year-old and two-turn improvement. He was the only well-off-the-pace winner from 6 dirt races when he made 2 very wide moves to break his maiden over a sharp subsequent Keeneland winner. And then he stepped way up in class a mere 4 weeks later to loom up mid-stretch versus the very good Audubon in the Grade 1 Florida Derby before he was out-sprinted late by that rival. But the three-length margin between them could have been much smaller if Hartburg had not run into a position-losing blind switch on the second turn after he spurred it from way back and actually passed well in front of the more patiently ridden Audible. Watch that replay carefully, and you will see that move indicating Hartburg's talent. Now, subsequently, he had to play a game of re-catch-up with Audible, and that blunted Hofburg's final kick. But with one unbroken run and another race under his belt, he has huge mile-and-a-quarter Derby Day upside. Maybe he ultimately will prove better on turf because of his breeding on the dam side and his size. But if he keeps it together pre-race, his ability to go wide and still finish makes him a win threat and all overused for me. I just wish he had a bit more seasoning.
All right, my boy Jack, the 10.
He has 10 races of foundation, more than anyone else in this race, and 9 of them have been around 2 turns. And horse for horse, raw talent level for raw talent level in his barn. No trainer in the world is better with developing dirt horses than Keith DeSorbo.
He's very good.
And they don't cost a whole lot either. Now, this horse was pace, bias, trip, and wet seal conditions helped in the Grade 3 Southwest. But I still love the way he exploded late and galloped out powerfully. And while pace and the two-turn bias also helped him in the Louisiana Derby, I hated that ride. My boy Jack's move there was way too wide and way too rushed in relation to the long fairground stretch. The Grade 1.5 caliber older horse Good Samaritan rallied to win the Grade 2 New Orleans handicap that same day at the same distance, and my boy Jack's pace figure and finishing split blend matched up very favorably for a March 3-year-old in his first mile and an eighth race, and even more favorably from the 3/4 to the mile before Good Samaritan's better time ride allowed him to finish really well, while my boy Jack's excessive turn burst caused him to flatten. Subsequently, my boy Jack required all of the short Keeneland stretch to beat the promising Telekinesis, a horse to watch for the Preakness maybe, in the Grade 3 Lexington that my boy Jack needed to get Derby points. Even with a quick second straight quick turnaround, my boy Jack's sturdy base, I think, will keep him in form, and his underrated kick to me make him an upset win threat if he gets an inspired ride and something crazy happens pace-wise. He's going to be a win bet saver for me. an all-over use. And if the track comes up wet and there are showers in the forecast, they come at the right time and they're hard enough. If the track is wet and sealed, I am going to dive in on my boy Jack, and I'm going to try to make a score because I think under those conditions, he can win.
Bolt de Oro, a lot of people last year thought he would be the Derby favorite. He has done little wrong. He hasn't won the two big races that he's been in his life, but he's been right around everything. What about Bolt de Oro?
He's absolutely one of the key horses in betting this year's Derby, Mike. On PPs and figs, he's clearly the second-ranked horse in the division. He possesses top-class juvenile sprint and route form, and now is thrown off a layoff following two sharp efforts versus really high-quality rivals. He has a lot of the checks in the right place. But has he advanced from the high water mark of his freakish Grade 1 front-runner score last September? That's the question. Yes, his troubled start from an impossible post and subsequent very wide trip ruined his chances in the BC Juvenile. He ran really well there, and he did have bias and pace issues, respectively, in his two 2018 races. But Bolt de Oro was slow to train on early this year. He shows only average sophomore physical development. This horse really hasn't blossomed physically, and he just hasn't finished or galloped out with Triple Crown authority in his last two, admittedly against really strong competition, but I still would have liked to have seen him close the deal more strongly. He was late-changing leads in the Santa Anita Derby, and I'm just not a fan of his fast, early, slow, late workout style. My gut tells me that his two 2018 efforts have been more draining than they have been developmental. I don't think he can improve right now. I believe he has a strong chance of being completely off the board. This is a really good field, a really deep field. You have to make tough choices. I'm going to throw him out of the first two slots. I'm going to throw him off most of my tickets. I'm going to play against him. I'm only going to use him defensively in the third and fourth slots on my all tickets.
Enticed, the number 12.
He's tactical, and he has a grinding style, and that says he's a true dirt route horse, but his PPs imply that 9 furlongs or less might be his preference. He's huge size-wise, and overall trainer Kieran McLaughlin's program just is better later in the year, it seems, with horses like this. The combination of live fractions and the stretch to 10 furlongs might not work for him right now. I'm going to limit him to the third and fourth slots and only on my all tickets. But this is a horse who's better than a lot of people think. The Derby just isn't the right race for him right now, in my opinion.
The 13, Bizarro.
He has tactical versatility.
I should say, Bravazo.
Well, it doesn't matter. He won't get many calls in the race. His tactical versatility is a plus, but he still is going to have to improve two levels to even contend for a piece. Only going to use him on my all tickets deep, deep underneath. Anybody can be third or fourth in this race with the right setup. So I will have some tickets with all, but no elective ones.
He is trained by the ageless Wayne Lucas, which is why people will notice. That's about it. Mendelsohn. You've heard a lot about Mendelsohn. He comes over, obviously, Aidan O'Brien, Scat Daddy, who costs $3 million. How about Mendelsohn?
Well, I turned on the music channel when I woke up this morning and Mendelsohn was playing, so I don't know if that means anything.
Maybe it is.
But,
maybe it is.
Yeah, but I didn't like it because I don't like the horse. He absolutely freaked the last time out in his dirt debut in the Mile and 3/16 UAE Derby. He was sent hard, though, in that race, really hard, asked for his life to ride the wave of a powerful speed bias. He pulverized a field that was of dubious main track quality. He's by the versatile late great sire Scat Daddy. He's a half-brother super dirt man beholder. He has unlimited upside on his newfound surface. He's trained by Aidan O'Brien, international superstar who knows how to get horses ready for any type of race anywhere. He's third off a layoff, has 7 total races of foundation in 3 different countries. He's been successful going longer than anyone else in this field has even run. But while he can sit a little bit on turf, he's unproven accepting dirt in his face on the main track, and he might lack the United States unbridled speed to guarantee avoidance of that possible trauma in this matchup. Mendelsohn, he's a very good horse. I like him as a horse. I just don't like him in this race. But unlike past foreign entrants, his winning this race would not totally shock me. But this is a super high-quality Derby field. There's capable speed horses in it. I have to play against some horses who are going to take action. I'm going to play against him. Only use him third or fourth in my all tickets, not on my main tickets. Let the international horses beat me until they do.
Talking Derby with Brad Thomas. We'll have the latest on what's going on with Matt Harvey as soon as we finish. Instilled Regard, the number 15.
He was expected exposed when pace bias and trip compromise in the soft grade two risen start, when I thought he still should have been able to sustain a better run. He ran great in the grade one Los Alamitos Futurity at H2 when he was troubled, but he was still third best in that race. This horse has had trouble getting over the hump. After the risen start, he came off a little bit of a freshening, ran in the grade one Santanita Derby against the best in the division. He was absolutely no factor when pace compromised in that race, but I don't hold that so much against him. But what disturbed me was he couldn't catch the very average recent maiden winner Core Beliefs for third. Now, a mile and a quarter, I do think, will help this horse. I do think the longer it goes, the better he's going to be. But I just don't think he's ready to win at this level or even be second. I'll use him third or fourth on my all tickets, but I just haven't seen the physical maturity also out of this horse that I would like to have seen.
All right, how about the unbeaten 4-for-4 Arkansas Derby winning Magnum Moon?
I love this horse's talent. He started his career 36 days earlier and has one more race of experience, which are both positives. But otherwise, he's almost an East Coast slash Midwestern mirror image of Justify. He's a big, framey horse, not as athletically built as Justify. His lines are a little bit sharper than Justify's smooth ones. He has a long, loping stride. He's still a bit gawky. He was fast enough, though, the winner's debut at 6 furlongs. He was pliable enough to rate stretching out as a second-time starter, really showing off his good mind. Two back in the grade two Rebel, he just galloped disdainfully very wide throughout before striking into the stretch. And then in the grade one Arkansas Derby, he did basically the same thing but on the lead when a good draw and a paceless scenario essentially gave him the race on a silver platter. But now he has an outside post, plenty of legit opposing early foot against him, and takes a big step up in competition. The Arkansas Derby wasn't the strongest. That's going to force Magnum Moon to run a very different race. He'll have to make more moves and pass more horses. And he does continue to drift in his races and in his works. And after quickish turnarounds of 30 and 28 days for his two Oaklawn scores for his Arkansas-centric owners who really wanted to win those races, he now must return really quick for the third straight time, now in a mere 21 days for a trainer whose wheelhouse is 35 to 42 days. I think this is a lot to ask for a still-developing horse. Magnum Moon has the potential to be an absolute monster in the future at Big Belmont. Belmont is the track that was made for this horse. I can see him wiring the Jockey Club Gold Cup in the fall, but I'm playing against him Saturday. He'll only be third or fourth on my all tickets. Again, I have to throw some talent out if I'm going to give myself a chance to make a really big score.
All right, Salamini, Bob Baffert, the 17.
He really hasn't developed at age three. He repeatedly has been well beaten when facing some of the race's leading contenders. He hasn't changed leads in his last two when barely outkicking the very average combatant twice for minor spoils, and couldn't get by a shrugged off by the excellent Magnum Moon Quip late last out in the Grade One Arkansas Derby. He can't win. But having evolved into a relatively deep closer, a grinder like this with a decent mile and a quarter pedigree has a chance with the right trip to chug along for third or fourth, and that's where I'll use him.
All right, Vino Rosso, who is the Wood Memorial winner and also has the local connections, Mike Rapoli and the St. Elias guys, all local guys. How about Vino Rosso?
He has a long stride for a horse of his size, Mike, and like many such types, had trouble keeping up with more nimble rivals on the second turn at very, very quirky Tampa Bay. He disappointed twice there this winter versus grade two type fields. But when he went to Rumier Aqueduct, when second time blinkers, stretching out to a mile and an eighth, benefiting strongly from pace and bias and committing to staying outside foes throughout, Vino Rosso sustained a long, steady run to overwhelm late the very decent 9 furlong horse in Tice. Jockey, that was the Wood Memorial. Now, Vino Rosso did move relatively early in that race, so even though the pace overall benefited him, I really like the fact that he was able to move a little bit into the pace right out of the gate. He got stung a little bit by that. It did hurt him a little bit, but it gave him position ahead of the deepest of closers. And that ability to move a little bit early and then move a second time is very, very important in the Derby. His jockey, John Velasco, is a keen judge of young horses. Probably could be on Audible. In fact, could be on Audible if he wanted to. But he's believed in Vino Rosso all year, stays with him for the Derby. This horse is putting things together mentally. And on pedigree, on the way he moves, he's one of the few in here who truly, I think, is going to relish the stretch to a mile and a quarter. Now, he did lug in the wood. That was a focus issue, I believe. And Velasquez continued correcting him after the wire. Brilliant schooling by a very experienced, very, very smart jockey. And I have no doubt that this horse has had that lugging-in issue addressed in his training by connections who do things top-notch in every single way. And indeed, Vino Rosso's, his afternoon improvement has corresponded in the last few weeks and months with improved workouts. That's a combination I like to see. When horses are clicking in the morning and then clicking in the afternoon, one thing builds upon another. And I'll tell you something else, too. Vino Rosso hasn't always impressed me as the most light-footed of horses with the way he moves. But when I've seen him on that Churchill Downs track, and it stayed pretty much the same all week, and it, hopefully if the rain holds off, it'll stay pretty much the same on Saturday, Vino Rosso floats over Churchill Downs. His feet do not touch the ground. This horse moves so much better over that track than any other track I've seen him on. It's unbelievable. He's quick enough early to get decent position into the first turn, despite the post. I think he's a now horse and a big win threat.
All right. So we know the 19 and 20 are long shots, Combatant and Noble Indy. Noble Indy 19, Combatant 20. So give us your thoughts. Now, you do this in tiers on the from first down, but all right, at the top level, who's on the first level?
I have five horses who are win threats, Mike.
Go ahead.
I'll put them maybe in order of, I think, the likeliness of winning. Justify, Vino Rosso, Hofburg, Good Magic, My Boy Jack. Justify is going to be too short to bet. Vino Rosso is going to be a price I'm going to bet him to win. Hofburg, I have a feeling, could be the hot, wise guy horse and be undervalued. If he's 18, 19, 20 to 1 or more, I'll probably have something to win on him as a saver as well. Good Magic will be too short, and I just don't believe enough of him in him. My Boy Jack will be huge. I'll have a little bit of a saver on him under any conditions. If the track is wet and especially sealed, I'll really have a sizable win bet on him. I think you can play this. Those horses in a five-horse trifecta box for 50 cents that cost $30. I would take a shot with a four-horse trifecta box for 50 cents, cost $12, would justify out of it, just in case you get lucky in that regard. You can play 50-cent tri-boxes with three horses, cost $3, using some mix-and-match combination of those five. Justify with two other horses, three horses without Justify, mix and match. It's very inexpensive, and you can really score if you're right. You could also play Justify in one slot in tries in supers and play the other four horses in the other slots and maybe in a lower tier add some horses who can suck up third or fourth. Audible would be my first ad. Lone Sailor, Salamini, they would be other ads.
Now, other than Justify, who obviously is going to be a heavy favorite, and the early betting, the guy who's gotten the money is My Boy Jack, who's 5-1. What horse do you like, Vino Rosso, as your other horse behind Justify?
Vino Rosso, the only horse I'll make a serious win bet if things go as I expect them to go weather-wise, will be Vino Rosso. I will take a shot with him at a big price. My exotics will have both Justify and Vino Rosso substantially in the top slot.
Thanks, Brad, very much. Appreciate it. Enjoy your Derby Day. Thank you.
Take care, guys.
All right, so Brad Thomas, there you go. Justify will be a very heavy favorite, folks. Baffert has talked the horse up all week. Thinks it can be a super horse. Now you got to try and beat it. That's part of the Derby law. You bet some big exactas with long shots behind it, and then you try and beat it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.